Today's daf in Masechet Sukkah, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Chof Chet, and we are holding on the second line of the daf. Yesterday, we learned that Rebbe Eliezer sort of avoided all of the questions. Remember, he was sitting in the sukkah, and the sun was getting close, and he wouldn't say whether it's okay to put a sheet on the sukkah or not. Anyway, so it says that he refused to say anything that he hadn't learned from his Rebbe, hadn't been mekabel from his Rebbe before. As we mentioned yesterday, that this was sometime that this was only, some of the Rishonim point that this might be only at the time that his Rebbe was alive. We had the Meram Mipanos pshat. Okay, but anyway, we have meanwhile some other maisim, now that Richie's here, that we can tell, some other maisim of Rebbe Eliezer. Tana Rabbanan, second line, Chav Ches. Tana Rabbanan, Maaseh b'Rebbe Eliezer, Sheshavat b'Galil Elyon. So one time he spent Shabbos in the Galil Elyon, and he was asked a lot of questions, 30 different halachas, Birchot Sukkah. So people were waiting for Rebbe Eliezer to come. So 12 of the questions, he said, I was mekabel a solution, and he told it to them. But 18, he said to them, look, I was not taught about this. Rabbi Yehuda says it's the opposite. It was 18 that he said to them, I was Makabalist, and he told them 12 out of the 30. He said, look, I didn't hear from my Rebbe about this, so I have nothing to say. So they said to him, what do you mean you have nothing to say? Everything that you say, you're only parroting what you heard. You don't know how to think for yourself. Maybe you haven't learned properly. I mean, we thought that you were a big Talmud Chacham. What's going on around here? Amar Lahem, he said to them, all right, you guys are pushing me over here, you know. Look, I can't resist. He's kaktuni lomar davar shelo shamati mipi rabotai. You just forced me to say something. I don't want you to be chayshed me that I didn't learn. I have to tell you, that is not the reason that I'm not answering your question. I may have opinions, but I don't say my opinions because I have, and this is one of the things that I did not learn from my rabbeim, which are my own personal standards. Now, Lemaise, it turns out that he did learn this from his Rebbe, but he learned it from observation of how it was that his Rebbe was Nayik, as we'll see in a moment. But because of the fact that he hadn't been taught it specifically, and he analyzed it from what he had seen, he's already calling that something that I didn't makabel from my Rebbe. So I have to tell you over my approach to life. Mi amai, first of all, nobody ever got to the Beit HaMidrash before me, all my days. I never slept in a Beit HaMidrash, even though it's mutter for Talmidei Chachamim, which is made for usage, Yomam V'Laila. So it's acceptable to take a nap in a Beit HaMidrash. I never did. I was always the last one out. I never left anyone in there. I never engaged in nonsensical or just words that were empty, just to have something to say, which, as the Rambam points out, that's most of the conversation, to say the least, of most people. The most is a bit of an English understatement. And this is what you're suffering from, is the Sanoga, that I never said over anything that I didn't hear from a Rebbe, and therefore I keep my opinions to myself. But they say the same thing about his Rebbe, who's Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. So I'm Rulava Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, exactly the same thing. Miyomav lo sach sichat chulin. We never walk 4 amos without being either with his, some say without, or some say with both. He would never walk 4 amos without Torah in his mouth and without tefillin on his head. And even though it was very almost impossible for him to control his thoughts that they shouldn't be on Divrei Torah, when he came to a place that wasn't clean, he was able to control his thoughts. Nobody, never left anybody behind. It means he's the only one left, only one, the last one out. So that means, lo mitzo adam yosheva domim. No one ever found him just sitting there quiet. He was always yosheva shoneh. Nobody would open the door in his house to his talmidim, but he himself. This is the pshat, which has tremendous amount of things to do with the situation, Bisman said. Some say that the point is that once you have a Shemar Pesach, so you get into the kind of questions that happened with Hillel. Remember that Hillel wasn't allowed in because he wasn't paying. But worse than that, you end up being controlled by your Gaboim. So they already start deciding who comes in to see you, who doesn't come in to see you. So, Mamela, it's like being on the internet with Google. They decide what it is that you'll hear, what you won't hear. And that's a disaster for a Talmud Chacham, because then he gets to believe all kinds of things that are irrelevant. And because of that, there's a tremendous distance that's created between the Rebbe and the Talmidim. He would not allow another person to open the door. He opened the door. Lo amar, this is Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Lo amar davar shelo shama mipi rabo miolam. So this was the hanhaga that Rabbi Eliezer was saying, that he is being forced to say something he didn't hear from his Rebbe. All of these things he had seen in his Rebbe, but he hadn't heard it from his Rebbe. They were hanhaga, so he was koveya it as a defined activity. Lo amar yigia et la'amod bibeit ha-midrash. He never would tell people it's time to get up and to leave the Beis HaMedrash, other than Erev Pesach and Erev Yom Kippur, which we saw in the sugya there from Sochim, that he wanted to make sure that people would eat before Yom Kippur, and he wanted to be certain that there would be time for the Talmidim to go home and to make sure that their children rested so that they would be available for being able to concentrate during the Seder, to be Mekayim the Mitzvah, Vigadat Levincha. And this is the way that Rebbe Eliezer also was Noyeh. You should know that there were 80 Talmidim that Hillel HaZaken had. And this is, we're opening here, because the Rebbe Yochanan ben Zakkai that we just spoke about, the Madrega of Yochanan ben Zakkai, was the Katan Shebekulam. So 30 of those 80 Talmidim, they were roy that the Shekhinah should be Shera Aleim Kemesher Abena. And the only reason that it wasn't, because, as it says elsewhere, because the door wasn't roy lekach. The Shekhinah can only be Shera in a context of a door that is roy. Shloshimiyam, another 30 of them, were roy shetamod lem chamak Yoshua Binun. Yeah, they weren't quite like Mesher Abenu, but certainly the sun could have stood still for them, like Yeshua ben Nun. Then there were 20 that were maybe greater than the ones that were like Yeshua, but they were not as great as the upper third. That covers the whole 80 of them. Gadol shebekulam. So, question over here, some learns Gadol, Gadol shebekulam. Most learn it means of all the Talmidim, but there's some in the Rishonim who say Gadol shebekulam is referring specifically to the middle 20. I don't know why. What the diak is that is mechayev them to say that, but the parshat is gadol shebekulam. All of them, the greatest was Rabbi Yonasan ben Uziel, and katan shebekulam was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. So all of the things that we just said about Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was the smallest of all of the talmidim of Hillel HaZaken. Amru alav Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai shelo yiniach mikra, mishnah, gemara, halachos, v'agadais. There was not a thing that he had not learned. There wasn't a single Mishnah or Brisa. Mishnah includes both Mishnah and Brises. Wasn't a single Gemara. Obviously, Gemara doesn't mean there was no Gemara, but it means that Gemara is what we call the discussions that we had at that time. Obviously, it was all Tanoim, but the later Tanoim were Ma'ayin in the earlier Tanoim, the way the Amoraim were Ma'ayin in the Tanoim, and the way that every door is Ma'ayin in what the Dor Shelefanav and the Dorot Shelefanav had. So whatever was available at his time was called the Gemara. There was not a single halacha v'halacha l'meshem Sinai. There was not a single diktuk in the Torah where there was an extra ace that we're marabeh Or was it the single Dikduke Sofrim? Dikduke Sofrim means something completely different. Dikduke Sofrim means insights that the Talmid HaChachomim had into the way human beings work. They were medactic in their minds to see where you needed to have a gezera in order to not be makshal the brias. Every one of those was clear to him. And then there were all the kalim, the chamurim, that's a kavachomer, that's something that an adam is dan me'atzma, that's not a kabbalah. Gezeras shaves, those are kabbalahs. And the tkufes, that's the dinim of the Kiddush HaChodesh and the dinim of the Kiddush HaShana and so on and so forth, all of the astronomical things, all of the gematrias, those are the gemaras that are medayik gematria that we learn out, let's say a nazir, stam nazir, it's a shloshim yom, yiyah is the gematria shloshim yom, and all the other things which Rashi says, I don't even know what they are, sichas malachi hashores, sichas shedim, sichas dekolim, all of these things, mishalot kofsimu, mishalot shalim. So, okay, some learn sichas dekolim means that just like Shlomo HaMelech was able to understand from the behavior of a tree what it actually needs, its nourishment requirements, its water, and so on and so forth. Mishalot kofsim u'mishalot shalim, they used to give ideas, these Aesop fables, sort of, that we call them fox fables, which were a basis for giving Musar to people by giving them over little stories, and then they would understand the concept through the stories. And the Dover Godol and Dover Katan, Dover Godol refers to Maaseh Merkava. Dover Katan, as the Rambam says, those are the things that should come first because they're Miyashiv Daita Shalei Adam. And they're the key to a world that is settled properly. And those are Avayest Abaye Verova. Avayest Abaye Verova are the latest things, so to speak, that you have to figure out all of the timing. So Rashi says these were things that they had all been answered. Obviously, Abaye Verova lived much later. But these were all the questions that were going to be asked later on in Deres. They were forgotten in the time because they were taken for granted as being part of the just the simple understanding of things. They would work out all of the things that we work out in the Gemara through following the Abaye Verova. We call it Abaye Verova because that was the latest thing. Abaye Verova Bismanenu is the questions about the questions about the questions and so on. So each door is marba. That's why the halacha is like the last door. Each door is marba, the detail of chakira and understanding that was taken for granted as part of the overall picture. So these, what you think you're doing new things, these were the things that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai took for granted. And this is on the smallest of the Talmidim, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. V'chi mi'acher shekatan shebekulam kach. Just imagine, if this is the smallest of the Talmidim, so gadol shebekulam, alachas kama v'kama, and indeed they say on Yonatan ben Uziel, who was the gadol shebekulam, that when he was yoshev osik b'teira, if a bird flew over his head, it was immediately burnt up into a sizzle. Because, okay, so Rashi says because of the Malachi Ashores that would gather around, and they would, so they're like age, so the bird would fly through that area, it would sizzle. But Tosi says it's because the Chibor to Torah was so great, it was like going through a laser beam that was like connected to the Shamayim, and a laser beam would burn you up. It was like you were sitting at Har Sinai. So the poor bird would pop. You know what they say? A number of people have said this over the years. So imagine what the Madrega of Hillel HaZaken must have been if this were his Talmidim. So they asked some of the Hasidim say this. They asked, what was the Madrega of Hillel? Madrega of Hillel, they answer, was that he was so great that he took care of every bird that flew over his head that it shouldn't get burned. There's a bit of a problem with that shot, however, as attractive as it is. And that is that the Yerushalmi says that Yonatan ben Uziel was only when the bird got in within 4 amas of his head that it would blow up. But with Hillel, it was as far as you could see. So that's not exactly the same approach. But okay. Anyway, very sweet. And now we are up to a very special moment with our own Capitan. So it took us a month to get to the Mishnah that we started with, which was what was the size of the sukkah. We were medayik from this Mishnah, remember, that the Mishnah was actually on two separate levels. It was talking about the size of the sukkah on the one hand, and it was talking about a gezerah on the other hand. So vis-a-vis the size of the sukkah, do you need to have the sukkah to be just as large as the Rosho Verubo that is lying, which is the shear of 6x6 tefachim? Or do you need a shear of Rosho Verubo Vishulchonai, like we paskin, which is 7x7? That's one thing that the Mishnah is, and we were medayik it from the language of the Mishnah, which I'll remind you of as we go through it. And the other element of the Mishnah was, is there a gezeira that if the table on which you're eating, on which you're learning, is outside of the sukkah, so we're afraid that you may end up bending over and eating on the table, not realizing that your head is outside of the sukkah. That's a separate question of gezeira. So we have two machlokasim here between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, is the simple way of understanding the Gemara before. And therefore, Mishaya Rosho Verubo Vesuka Veshulchano Betoch HaBayit. Now, here's the Lashon that we medayik before. Beit Shammai Poslim uBeit Hillel Machshirim. Now, obviously, the word Pasul doesn't make any sense on a behavior. You would have to say Yatsa or Lo Yatsa. Yatsa Yedei Chovato or Lo Yatsa Yedei Chovato. So therefore, from the actual words Poslim uMachshirim, we were medayik before that there's a machlokas as to the actual hechsher of the sukkah per se. Is the sukkah kosher or not? Amru lahem Beit Hillel Beit Shammai. Lo kach haya maaseh. Wasn't there a time in which the Ziknei Beit Shammai and the Ziknei Beit Hillel went to visit Rabbi Yochanan ben Achoranit, and they found him sitting in a sukkah where he was a big sukkah, but his body was in the sukkah, and the table was in the front of the sukkah in his house. They didn't say to him, you're doing something wrong. You're completely mixed up. Some say this means that's goof for my raya. That's usually mishom raya. From there you're bringing a raya. They did tell him, so this is the other machlokas about whether there's a gezeira. Now, if they told him you were never yotze yerchiev of a sukkah, so the mashmaut is, this is the way Tosfos understands it, that the psul min rabbanan, even because of a gezeira, is ma'akev the kiyama mitzvah. And that indeed he wasn't even the kind of mitzvah of sukkah. Other Rishonim, this is how Tosfos understands it, and from there we can learn out to the case where Beit Hillel would agree that you literally wouldn't be Yotze. The Ran disagrees. The Ran learns that he means it's Ki'ilu, which we often find. It's Ki'ilu, you weren't Yotze. It doesn't mean literally you wouldn't be Yotze the mitzvah. Fine. So in any event, we go on now to talk about who is Chayiv in the mitzvah of Sukkah. Nashim, because it's a mitzvah saseh shas mangurma, and avadim, who have the same mitzvah as nashim, and ktanim, are all pturim min asukah. But there is a chiyav of chinuch on a katan, and only at the stage, katan she'ino tzarich li'imo, chayav besukah. The Gemara will discuss what that means. But a katan who doesn't need to be with his mother all the time, he is chayav in asukah. As a matter of fact, there was even a story once, where Kalato Shel Shammai HaZaken, his daughter-in-law, gave birth during Sukkot, and Shammai took off the roof from over the bed where she was, Pichetata Ma'aziva, and he put on Tzchach, Agabe Amita, Bishvil Katan, because this seems to be a stira, which the Gemara is going to ask, because over here it's mashma that there was a Chiyav Bishvil Katan, So we'll talk about it when we get to the Gemara over here. Because the question is how to read it. Is it Bishvil HaKatan or is it Bishvil Katan? If it's Bishvil Katan, so it means that there was another Katan that had been big enough, at least that would have some sense of where he is. And then the stira would be that if he needs to still be with his mother, and he couldn't bring him out to the sukkah, so why did he bother opening the roof if he was so young? So we'll see in the Gemara. How do we know, Minan Amile, how do we know that women are not included in the mitzvah? The Tana Rabbanan, it says, Kol ha'ezrach b'Yisrael, all of the ezrach, yeshvu b'sukkot. So if it had said ezrach instead of ha'ezrach, so then that would have included everyone, men and women. Since it says ha'ezrach, so then it's coming to exclude nashim, the ezrach, not all the ezrach. And then when it says kol ezrach, that's coming to be marbe the ketanim. Now, none of this makes sense. So he's going, what are you talking about? Omar mar, ezrach lo tziyat anashim, ha'ezrach lo tziyat anashim. First of all, I don't understand what you're saying. That the word ezrach, you're telling me the word ezrach includes men and women. Is that what you're saying? Bein nashim, bein gavrei mashma. Problem is that it says the opposite. Look at this bright of Otanya. Ha ezrach. Here we're talking about the ezrach that it says, legabe yom ha-kippurim. Vaitalachem l'chukat olam b'chodesh ha-shevi'i be'asor l'chodesh. Ta'anu et nafshotechem v'chom l'chalo ta'asu. Ha ezrach. V'hager agar b'tochachem. So over there it says that ha ezrach is coming to include nashim. So the rabot et ha-nashim ha-ezrachiyot, any Jewish woman, that she does have to do inui, which is mashma, that ezrach, if it wouldn't have said ha-ezrach, that it's a reference to gavre, it's a reference to men. Now, there's two ways of understanding this question. One is just that it's focusing on the meaning of ezrach, and we're taking for granted that the hey of the ha-ezrach would invert the simple meaning of the ezrach just as ezrach. And that it's not that it's saying ha-ezrach, and therefore it's limiting the ezrach. But that is not the point. So if that's the case, then we're only asking whether the word ezrach includes women or doesn't include women. However, it certainly does not seem to be that is Rashi's approach. Some of the Rishonim say that's what's meant over here. But it seems clear from Rashi that the point is, specifically, is hay meant to be inclusive, or is hay actually making it more inclusive? But that seems to be the opposite over here. Omar Rabba, so Rabba says, look, there's no contradiction here. One of them is just an esmachta. Actually, these halachas about the woman being chayavot are halachas, and asmachina rabbanan akroi. The Rabbanan pretended that both came from the same pasuk. Well, I mean, one of them is meant, isn't it? I mean, which one is meant? And then we're saying that the Rabbanan came or remasbech the other one. Tell me which one is the halacha and which one is the pasuk. That's first of all. I mean, you haven't explained how this works. And besides, I have no idea what this whole story is about. Why do I suddenly need a pasuk to tell me what the din is of women? We have an overall klal. I don't need the pasuk, and I don't need a halacha. Not to tell me that women are pturais from sukkah, and not to tell me that women are chayavais in inoy of Yom HaKippurim. These are klalim b'kol ha-Torah kula. Sukkah is a mitzvah aseh shazman gorma, correct? So, kol mitzvah aseh shazman gorma. Wherever you have a chiyav of an aseh that is dependent in time, we know that nashim are peturot. We learned that out from Psukim, Kedushin. Yom HaKippurin is a lotaseh. Why do I need to tell me that women are included in a lotaseh? We have the klal of Rav Yehuda Amarav, the Omer of Yehuda Amarav, v'chein tana devei Rav Yishmael, where we have the posik of Ish, O Isha, the Torah specifically relates, Ish, O Isha, ki yasu mikol chatal ta'adam limomal b'ashem. From there, we learn that the Torah is comparing Isha la Ish, on any issue which is a lotas that brings onashim? Why do I need a pasuk to tell me that women are chayavot in the dinim of Yom Kippur? Omar Abaye, okay, I'll answer all three of your questions, okay? The truth is that it's a halakha l'meshe mi-Sinai that women are pturot from the sukkah. And if it wouldn't have been for that, then we would have said that women are chayavot. Because if it would say the halakha of the ezrach together with the hay, it would have meant that nashim are chayavot. And I still need it here because I would have thought this is different than other cases. Because salkatayt chamina, teshvu ke'in taduru. I would have said the whole point of teshvu basukot is what? Live the way you normally live. Do you normally live by throwing your wife out into another house? No. So just like a dira is ish v'ishto, so too is a sukkah ish v'ishto. So I would say that teshvu ke'in taduru is gufa mechayev nashim. Kamash malan, therefore I need to know that the halacha tells me not to learn the idea of teshvu to include that, and that in fact she remains potter. Rava says, I'll tell you another reason why women would be chayef if it wouldn't have been for halacha to tell me that they're potter race. Because sarka dait chamina, remember we have the hekesh of chamishasra v'chaga matzot. Are women chayavot to eat matzah? Absolutely. Because we learn out, remember, from anyone. Since it says, lo tochal alav chametz, shivat yamim tochal alav matzot. So from there, the Gemara we had in Pesachim learns out that anybody who is included in the Yisra of Baal Tochal Chametz is included in the mitzvah of get up and eat matzah, Tochal ala matzot. So because of that, Afkan, since the Torah says, Chamisha Asar, Bechodesh HaRishon, and Chamisha Asar, Bechodesh HaShvi'i, I would have said, it's coming to teach me that women are chayavot in sukkah, the same with their chayavos in matzah. So, okay, fine. So now, if that's true, you're telling me that the real reason is because of the halacha l'meshe mi-Sinai that paters nashim from a sukkah. So what is the real meaning of that pasuk of ezrach and ha-ezrach? Because you're saying that's not really where I know it from. Ah, that's coming l'rabot et hagirim. Sal kadaita chamina, ezrach b'Yisrael, Omar Achmana. And therefore, maybe it would mean that it doesn't include gerim. Kamash balan, therefore, by adding the hey, it's telling us there's no such thing. The ezrach includes gerim. And Yom HaKippurim, well, how about that problem? Didn't we say that Yom HaKippurim, we know from Mishvira Amarav, which is ish v'akosud, ish la'ish l'chol onashim batorah? So why did it have to say over there, a ezrach, by the dinim of Yom Kippur? Ah, because you remember we had back in Yuma that there are completely different chiyuvim. There's the chiyuv aseh, and there's the chiyuv lo taseh, and then there's the chiyuv of the tosefet of Yom HaKippurim, that over there is the woman chayuv in tosefet. Because we learned out over there that there's no iser karis on the tosefet. And there's no malchus on the Tosefet. So now the question is, if that's the case, then maybe Nashim are not included in the Tosefet of Yom HaKippurim. And they're allowed to eat up to the last minute, right before Yom Kippur, immediately after Yom Kippur. It's because there's no Chiyuv. Therefore, it's not called Onashim Shabbat Torah. So Sal Kadate Chamin, I might have thought, remember that the Gemara learned out in Yoma that that's what we learn on the etzem shayom. You're only chayev on the atzma shayom, but not on the tosefet of the yom. So therefore, maybe women are not chayev in that chelik of the mitzvah at all, because that part was excluded from the chiyuvim on the lot. Mashmalan, therefore, it writes Ezrach to tell me that women are included even in the Tosefet of Yom HaKippurim. Okay, now let me ask you something. How in the world could you have brought me a pasuk, Kol HaEzrach? You said that the kol is coming to include ketanim, and 2 minutes ago you said in the Mishnah ketanim are peturim. How do you explain that? V'atzlan nashim v'avadim uketanim peturim in asuka. Oh, obviously, right? We made it very clear that it's only a katan she'eno tzorech li'imo. So therefore, lo kasha. In the Braita, we were talking about kol, it's referring to a katan she'igia l'chinuch. In the Mishnah, where we said that the ketanim are peturim, it's talking about ketanim she'lo igia l'chinuch. Ah, come on, what do you mean? The pasuk says a katan she'igia l'chinuch is chayev. It's not a diraisa. The katan she'igia l'chinuch is dirabbanan. I mean, what's a chayach to say that the katan is chayev in the sukkah? I mean, how can a braisa bring a pasuk to tell me we're including the katan in the chiyav of sukkah? It makes no sense. No, of course it doesn't make sense. It's an esmachta. Really, you're right. It's a din derabbanan, and the pasuk is an esmachta bi'alma. Okay, so I don't really understand. I mean, normally, we talk about a katan as somebody who's capable of absorbing what it is that you're trying to teach them. So let's say, when it comes to Divrei Torah, as Tosfos points out over there, it's a function of being able to speak. Katan, that is Yodea Ladaber, now you have to teach him the Pasuk of Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe. If he's able to walk from Yerushalayim to the Beis HaMikdash, so now you bring him up to be Mekayim, the Chinuch of the Mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel. A katan, that's Yodea Lishmor Gufo, then you bring him into Tfilin. So what is this she'eino tzorech le'imo? What would that mean? Eichi dami katan she'eino tzorech le'imo. How would that relate exactly? I understand that it means that he's able to leave the home, to go into a home where his mother isn't living. But what would define that? Armi devei Rabbi Yanai, it's defined by toilet training. Kol she'nifne ve'enimo mekanachto. If he can handle his own bathroom needs and cleanup, so then he's already a katan she'eino tzorech le'imo. Rabbi Shimon Eimer, no, it has to do with his psychological need of his mother. Directly. Toilet training may be psychological, but there's a much more immediate thing which continues longer than that. And that would be kol shenei or mishenato ve'eino korei ima. He wakes up in the morning and he doesn't cry mommy first thing when he wakes up. So that means he's capable of maintaining his own stance vis-a-vis the world when he becomes aware of the fact that he's alone. Ask the Gemara, wait a minute. I mean, it takes a very long time. I mean, even much older children will still say mommy. So, ima, gedolim nami karu. No, we mean he won't keep kvetching for his mommy. Ela ema kol sheneyo v'eno karu, ima. Ima, this goes on until Ima shows up. That's what it means. He may involuntarily shout out Ima, but he doesn't start kvetching. So he's able to settle down. Once he's able to settle down, then that means he's gotten to a level that he can be without his mother. Okay, but then you bring this crazy story that Shammai Azok and had a daughter-in-law who's in bed, and he puts chach over her for a child. I understand. Isn't this a contradiction to what you just said? Maaseli Stor, I thought if a child still needs the mother, then he's not chayim. Chisuri mechasra. Actually, the Mishnah was missing a couple of words, and it should have said that Shammai is machmir to include even a child. So as soon as he's able to understand what it means to be sitting in the sukkah, so at that point, now, obviously, a newborn is not capable of understanding that he's sitting in the sukkah. So many are medayik, but it doesn't say in the Mishnah Bishvil Hakatan. It says in the Mishnah Bishvil Katan. There was another child there that the mother had to have in her room with the newborn because he needed his mother. So over there, Shammai went for that child to include that child in the mitzvah of sukkah. And that was the Maisa Nami. And here they take out the hay. Instead of saying Bishvil Hakatan, it's Bishvil Katan. those who have the hay have to explain what is a shayach a mitzvah of chinuch. So the Ritva suggests, but then he says it's not mistaber, that maybe the point over here was that Shammai is chilek not because of the dinam of chinuch, but because of the fact that he held that since teshuvah came to duru, would mean to have your children with you. So Shammai wanted to make sure that his children are with him. Okay, there's obvious reasons why that doesn't make so much sense here. So some indeed take out this hay of the Hakatan. Okay, we're ready for our Kapitan for the second time. Maybe our Kapitan can handle so much in one day. Kol shivat hayamim, all 7 days of Sukkot, Adam says Sukkot keva ubeito arai. And we'll see what this means in the Gemara. But your Sukkah is your main place of residence. Your dugish hayamim. So what if it starts raining? Meimatay mutar lefanot. At what point is it considered that you're a mitztayer and you're allowed to leave your Sukkah? So misha tisrach hamikpa. If you've got a mikpa is anything which is solid food, but not hard. Let's say like a kugel. You've got a kugel, and because it starts to get ruined from the rain that falls in it, at that point you leave your sukkah. And you know what they say about this? Boshlo mashal. Lama davar domeh. You know what this is like? An eved comes to bring a kos l'rabo, and he wants to bring a cup of wine for his rebbe. And shafach lo kiton al panav. The pashtus, the Gemara is going to ask who pours out on what. The pashtus is the Rav takes the cup of wine and throws it on the Eved. Who wants your wine? So here, Bnei Yisrael are coming to be yotzei a mitzvah for love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he pours it on their head so that they shouldn't be mekayim the mitzvah. Okay, but Gemara entertains another possibility. Tana Rabbanon kushivat hayamim, Adam oseh sukato keva ubeito arai. What do we mean by that statement in the Mishnah that your main residence is your sukkah and your temporary residence is your home? Ketzad, what do you do to be mekayim that? Let's say a guy has really nice things. So the nice things he brings into his sukkah. Ayulo kelim naim ma'alan l'sukkah. He's got beautiful dishes into the sukkah. He's got beautiful linen into the sukkah. Ochel shoteh mitayel b'sukkah. He does his eating, he does his drinking, and he does, mitayel doesn't mean literally to walk, obviously, because there isn't very much walking you could do in sukkah. The word mitayel means where you're just not doing anything in particular. So that's a tayal. A tayal is somebody who doesn't have anything to do in life. It means you hang around, and you just take it easy, is what it means. Take it easy in your sukkah. Mino ani mile, tetoner abonan, this is all part of teshvu. Teshvu means ke'en taduru. Mikan amru, kol shivat hayamim, ose adam sukato keva, beto arai, ketzad ayulo kelim naim alin lesuka, matzaot naot malan lesuka, ochel v'shote, umitayel besuka. Now here's the strange thing. Umishanein besuka. Now, we're assuming that mishanein, usually, shinun means sharp. And what it means is you cut through thoughts, concepts. You have to cut through them sharply. So it means analysis. It means careful analysis of a sugya. The problem is that you're not supposed to do analysis in a sugya, in a sukkah. Mishanein besukkah. So ask the Gemara, is that true? You're supposed to be in your sukkah while you're learning the analysis of the sugya? Didn't Rava say, if you're reading Chumash or you're reading Mishnayos, fine. Mikro, mitna, that you do in the sukkah. But tanuye, the partial meaning of tanuye again, is that you're doing the analysis of the details and that you should be doing outside of the sukkah because you need the air, you need the space. As Rashi says, the open air allows you to think much more clearly. And Adarab, if you try to concentrate and sitting in one place, then you're a mitztayer. So you're potter from the sukkah in times where you need to think things out. Beautiful insight. So if you need to think, you need space, and you need light, and you need air, and you need the open. And therefore, you should do that outside of the sukkah. answers the Gemara, the word letanuye does not necessarily mean to cut things up. There are two levels of tanuye. Ha b'migras, ha b'iyune. There's such a thing as going over something that you already know, like reading through a Gemara. Reading through a Gemara, you can run through a Gemara. The Gemara is going to use the word run through a Gemara in a minute in Hebrew, the same exact word, run through. So there's such a thing as going over what you already know, and there's such a thing as needing to figure out what you don't know. What you don't know, what you don't understand yet, needs to be done outside of the sukkah. Kihada Rava, Varami Bar Chama. They used to go to Shir, with Rav Chista was the Rebbe. He would tell them over this whole Shir with many different halachas. So Avikaimi Mikamed Rav Chista, when they came out, first they ran through what they had just learned. Merate. Merate means to run through, literally. So they would run through Gemara. Gemara doesn't mean the Gemara that we have. Gemara means what they were just makabel from Rav Chista. So they would run through it together to make sure that they've got what it is that he said. Then they would try to figure out why it's true and so on. V'hadar ma'ayne bisfara.